that term from Acts chapter 2, but I'll save it for a little bit and just kind of start sharing with you. What my intent today is significantly less teaching than I typically do, and a lot more sharing, I guess. And if the whole message is boring to you, well, just be aware of this, that there's going to be a cartoon in the middle of it, okay? So there'll be something to look forward to as I share with you about Steamboat Willie today. But I warned you about that a while ago. So how many of you watched it? Did any of you watch it on the internet to see? Okay, not very many. So this might be a new experience for you today. All right, so anyway, but I'm going to begin by sharing some of my adventure, and I want to go back and give you a little bit of a history of some of the things that the Lord has shared with me, or what I would describe as words of the Lord to me and giving me leadership and direction, and not just me personally, but this church as well. But it kind of started for me with what I'm sharing today. It actually started with me way back in 1959, but I'm not going back that far today. It'd be too long a message. But I want to start by sharing, in 1983 was when the Lord called me to ministry, and eventually I understood that ministry was to pastor. And this wasn't a word of the Lord like God said, no, I've called you to pastor, I've called you to minister, but that sense, that leading on the inside, that knowing that there was something different for me than just farming. I mean, I was, you know, I had 15,000 laying hands, 28 head of dairy cattle, and 80 acres of ground when this came to me. So it wasn't like I was just looking for something else to do, but the Lord was giving me direction, and he confirmed that by other leadership that was in our life at that time. So it wasn't just something, well, I decided I wanted to do this. I brought that before those who were spiritual leaders for me, for us, and they confirmed that. Also, it was confirmed by prophetic words, people that were not familiar with who I was. I was speaking at a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting in Mason City, Iowa, and so the only way that these guys knew me was through a reference, so they didn't know me personally, but they prayed over me before that service began, and when they did, there was tongues and interpretation, and the interpretation of those tongues, part of that, the Lord said, I have called you to shepherd my sheep. And as I stood there, I mean, I had already known that the Lord was calling me to pastor, and that word was just a confirming word from, again, from people who didn't know who I was, didn't know that I was going to, you know, that I was preparing to be a pastor. But at that same time, then I began the preparation of schooling by correspondence as I was still farming, and then also being trained in practical ministry under the leadership of a pastor in Owatonna. Then in 1986, we started Praise Fellowship Church. And, you know, I have to give so much credit to the people who started together with us. There was a core group of about six families, all very spiritually mature people who were ready to take on the work of the ministry. So it wasn't just pastor doing everything. I mean, we had children's ministry, we had youth ministry. I guess we were doing the youth, but we had praise and worship team. We had sound equipment, you know, audio visual. We had everyone there that we needed to establish something and get it going well. And at the same time, I had tremendous help for me in leadership. I felt so green. I wanted to apologize to the people every week saying, you know, I know God's called me to pastor, but I'm so young in this and I have very, very little experience and just trying to follow the Lord. But there were people who were spiritually mature to help me in that leadership. About 10 years down the road, though, the Lord started speaking to me about more fully embracing that gift to pastor. And I remember a time in the prayer room that's now the supply room for the nursery. But I was in there and I was praying before the Lord, and I had, I don't know if I want to call it a vision, but there was a picture in my mind of me before the Lord and this vessel pouring liquid. I don't know if it was oil or water, but it was some kind of anointing over me. And the Lord said, I want you to more fully embrace that call to pastor that you have received. And I immediately started kind of, I don't want to say argue, but in conversation with the Lord saying, well, Lord, you know, I'm reluctant because of, I understand with that comes the accountability of being that pastor. And so, but as I was hesitating about that, he made it very clear that, well, you will be accountable whether you embrace it or not. So it's like, okay. Might as well at least try, you know. So that was a significant part in my life, and But then I remember a significant time in the early 2000s. I don't know exactly when it was, but I was wrestling with that responsibility, that sense of, you know, this is not an easy job to do, Lord. I am struggling with, you know, I know I'm accountable and there's that responsibility, and I'm just struggling with it. And I started comparing it to my bus driving out of the school. I was driving bus at that time, and I said, Lord, I love the difference between bus driving and pastoring, because bus driving, they give me the equipment, they give me the route, they put fuel in my thing. If it goes wrong, there's someone else to fix it. And I, you know, all I have to do is do what they tell me to do. And the Lord said, well, let me be your transportation director. You know, let me be the one that gives you the equipment. Stop trying to do this on your own. Stop trying to come up with your own route. I'll give you the route. I'll give you the destination. And know this. This was significant for me as well at that point. Some people will get on your bus. Some people will not. Some people have a different destination in mind. And some people, when you share your destination, they will decide to get off. Okay, so that was significant as well, as he compared that to what I was doing with bus driving, and he said, let me be your transportation director. And I've not always easily just said, okay, Lord, you're my transportation director. Too many times I try to be that myself and come under that pressure again, but that's, again, a significant word of the Lord to me over this course of time that has helped me in ministry. In 2001, we started a Restoration Christian Church in Park Rapids. I think that was a significant point in our church's history, not just because we were seating ourselves, but, and there again, I have to give credit to so many of you that were involved in that process, either going part, you know, doing ministry up there, or filling in for me when I was gone doing ministry up there. And I believe this whole body, in a sense, seeded my gift to pastor into initiating another congregation, which is doing well these days, and under the leadership of Pastor Andy Sperlin. And there was a God-ordained relationship that was established there. And as you may or may not know, Pastor Andy now serves in a position of being a board member for Praise Fellowship Church, in which he joins up alongside together with Melanie and myself, as well as Pastor Dan Gassler from Monticello, in discerning the will of the Lord for direction of this congregation and for help for me in that spiritual leadership. Then I've shared this with you recently, a word of the Lord that came to me on October 18th of 2006. And this is when the Lord said this, it is your time to rise up and move into the office I have elected you to serve in. And it's more apostolic than you are willing to admit. Yes, pastor, and yes, teacher, you have easily embraced these things, but more apostolic, and I will lead you into understanding of what that means. You know, I just thought of something, how these things come in 10-year spots. You know, 1986, started the church, 1996, embrace your gift more fully, and then 2006. Interesting. I wonder if there's something significant about that. But anyway, I knew that when the Lord said it's time to rise up and move into the office I've elected you to serve in, that wasn't my new office over there. I already moved into that in 2005, so I knew it wasn't a physical office, but it was a spiritual office. But anyway, and, you know, at that point, evidently, you know, I had embraced my gift to pastor. He said, yes, pastor, and yes, teacher, you've easily embraced these things, but more apostolic. And when that word came to me, that was like out of the blue, because, you know, immediately I conceived in my mind what apostolic ministry is like, you know, some understanding from the word of what it's like. And I just, you know, I didn't really see myself in that role. It's developed more, so I kind of understand why the Lord would say that now. but he said that there, I will lead you into understanding of what that means. Now, you might say, okay, that's back in 2006. You ought to have it figured out by now. You know, here is, you know, 2 years, more than 2 years later. What's up with this? How come you're still, you know, working on and chewing out this word? But I'll share why later. But, okay, so here's where I want to go into revelation of prophetic words, and I want to share this passage of Scripture with you. Acts 2:16, it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, this is from the King James translation. This word, "this is that," became very significant to me. Thank you. Your sweetheart. You're a sweetheart, too. When Dr. Howard Morgan was here and met with ministry leaders on the Sunday evening that he was here, one of the questions that came up to him with his Jewish background was, you know, things about the end times, because obviously the end times is very significant for the nation of Israel. And so, you know, there was just one of those questions, what about some of the things, you know, of end times? And he went into quite a long dissertation of understanding about things of end times, but this is what he concluded with. He said, you know, there are some things that we have a prophetic word on them, but it's kind of like, do we really understand? Oftentimes we speculate about what this prophetic word means. But once you get to the fulfillment of that prophetic word, then you go, ah, this is that was spoken. You know, and that's exactly what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. They had this prophetic word of the prophet Joel that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon all flesh. And they then realized the fulfillment. When the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh, they realized the fulfillment of that prophetic word. And Peter was able to stand and say, this is that. Dr. Howard Morgan was speaking about there will be things happen, and once we get to the end times, we'll go, ah, this is that was prophesied in Ezekiel, or this is that was prophesied in Revelation, this is that was prophesied in Daniel, with a more full understanding. And so the disciples experienced the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, and the greatest revelation comes with the fulfillment of the prophetic word. The reason I'm sharing this is, again, I received a word from the Lord that said, you know, more apostolic than you are willing to admit, more apostolic, and I will lead you into understanding of what that means. Now, I feel like I've been gaining some understanding of what that means, but no doubt that there will be fulfillment of that where I will look back and I will say, oh, this is that the Lord meant when he said more apostolic. So I'm not claiming to have complete and full revelation to share with you here this morning. Just some things that I have gleaned to this point and understanding that I have gained. I do want to share this with you. I'm not planning to move, okay? If some of you are thinking, okay, what does that mean if he's going to be more apostolic? Paul went all over the place. Maybe our pastors, maybe there'll be a time down the road where I'll go back and I'll say, oh, this is that. I'm supposed to travel all over now. Now, I don't see that anyway at this point, so just set you at ease or disappoint you one way or the other here. So you know, I'm just looking for the responses. I go, oh, no, don't leave. just kidding. Okay. Anyway, so here's some apostolic ministry from a biblical perspective. Now, this isn't extreme revelation. I mean, this is things that you can glean from Bible study. But first of all, the word apostle simply means sent one. You know, so in one regard, you as well as me could say that you have an apostolic ministry because God has chosen you and he has sent you to whatever your sphere of influence is, the place that you work, the family that you have, so on and so forth. There are places that he has sent us to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God and to take the message of the gospel. Okay, an apostle is one who does take the gospel to unreached areas. Any of you work in unreached areas? Whoa, yeah, it's like the back jungle or whatever. Okay, but that's part of apostolic ministry, to take the gospel to unreached areas, to lay a firm foundation for the churches being established and giving spiritual guidance and oversight, training leaders, dealing with specific problems, false doctrine and sins in the church, promoting unity in the body of Christ. And I'm sure you can, you know, if you're familiar with the scriptures, Paul's letters to the churches, the book of Acts and so forth, you'll see when the apostles actually did these things. And also demonstrating and imparting the supernatural dimension of the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things to note is, you know, that in the New Testament, each New Testament apostle was unique in how he carried out his apostolic role. In other words, every apostle that's described in the New Testament did not excel in all of these, you know, separate areas that I've given, these six areas that I've given you. They were more oriented one way or the other. And we have some examples. Peter was very effective in reaching out to the lost. Paul was more in teaching and building believers together as a functional expression of the body of Christ. And I'll share some of the passions that Paul describes in Scripture with you. And also John was a more prophetic heart, that God's people would continually walk together in righteousness with the Lord and love each other. I mean, read the epistles of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and hear him speak about love for God and walking in love for God and love for one another and walking in righteousness. And then also James, who was an apostle, he was the brother of Jesus. He was an apostle, and yet his focus was more pastoral and localized in Jerusalem. Okay, so those are some of the unique ways of apostolic ministry being carried out as we see in the scriptures. Now I'll just share with you what my desires are, the things that I feel passionate about. And I would have you turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verses 20 through 22. Actually, I'll start back with verse 19. It says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." So here's the details of what Paul is expressing there. First of all, he's speaking about his house, the Lord's house, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. And so there again, we see Paul's orientation towards establishing foundations for new works, the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. He also spoke about this dwelling or this house, God's house, becoming a holy temple or a dwelling of God and the Spirit, a dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. As we, I'll be sharing just a little bit about my experience with this pastoral school of nurture and Pastor Jack Hayford, one of the things that has just really become significant to me is, and it's not like it hasn't before and this is a new thing. I would say I've been renewed in this or revitalized in this about the Church of God being a place where God comes, inhabits by his Spirit. A people that are dwelled in by the Spirit of God and function as God's representatives, function as, I'm going to say it this way, as the incarnation of Jesus Christ here and now. That's what we are to be. When it calls us his body, we are to be the incarnation of Jesus Christ here on the earth now. Okay, and so that has been renewed to me. And when he's talking about his house, God's house, the church, being this place where God inhabits by his Spirit and us having a foundation for that kind of activity to be able to happen. You know how church can so easily become a social club? It can just so easily be a place where we get together, we sing a few songs, you know, we're kind of all, you know, kind of alike, and so we get along okay, and the treats after service are great, you know, so So that's a good reason to go, isn't it? Well, those are good reasons, but it's not enough. It's not what the church is to be, just a social club or a place where, you know, you can identify yourself as an individual in the community. Well, I'm a good, upstanding community person because I attend church. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about being a place where God can fill you, where God connects you together with other people so that you supply your part in that body, and that body becomes a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, also, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29. This is one that has been with me for a significant amount of time. And when I'm sharing these things, what I guess I'm attempting to say is if the Lord is saying to me it's more apostolic than you are willing to admit, well, I'm attempting to admit some of those areas where I sense that type of a call on my life, that kind of foundation laying or establishing, being a part of the establishing of a place where God can dwell by His Spirit. Or here's another area that is more individualized, I would say, for the people that God would call to be a part of Praise Fellowship Church. Colossians 1, 25 through 29 says, God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too, and that this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. These are the areas where I connect personally or where I relate. First of all, Paul said he was a servant, serving God's church, serving His church by proclaiming His entire message to you. You know, this is one of the things where, again, in our day, the church is having a tendency to water down the message, to draw in the masses, to draw in the crowds. And I would just say, you know, I don't want to compromise the message. I want to continue to share the whole message. And even if some, you know, hop in the bus and decide that, you know what, I don't want to hear about that kind of stuff, and decide to get out, that their intention is a different destination, that's fine. There's no problem with that. And so, you know, I want to be able to continue to have the freedom to declare the Word of God and to not pull back on that. Also, teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. My orientation is towards teaching. I don't think you will ever get a message in which I don't share the Scriptures. You know, it's the Word of God that's going to change your life. That's your spiritual food. It's not just me sharing my stories, and I can, you know, share some illustrations and things like that at times that I think will be helpful, but it's the Word of God that's going to bring life, and so that, again, I'm oriented that way very much. And also it says we want to present them to God perfect, or a word that I would rather have you put in there is complete. I mean, that's what the word perfect means in the Greek. It means complete, you know, because too often times we'll go, well, perfect. No one's going to attain perfection. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about being made complete in their relationship to Christ. And see, the Scripture says that, you know, in Philippians 1:6, it says, He who began a good work in you will bring it about to completion. Well, part of that completion, obviously, it's the work of God. It's the work of the Spirit of God in your life. But it's the Word, when the Word is taught, the Spirit of God takes that raw material of the Word of God and works it in you, so it's a development of the part of you hearing the voice of God by hearing His Word, and the Spirit of God working to develop that conscience within you, so that when you're about to do something that would conflict with God, your conscience rises up because you've got that Word planted in your heart, and the Spirit of God will take that Word and say, no, don't do that. It will keep you from harm. It will keep you from sin. So there's this completing. Also, there's the development. I'll share this a little bit more a little later about the development of the completeness of what God intended for us even before the worlds were formed. Okay, I'll move on. That's why I work, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Those things I relate to in a significant way. Now, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that in part of my time of waiting upon the Lord and desiring to understand this more fully, this word of the Lord to me, that I was in my office for an overnight retreat, and there was one point where I was just kind of starting to doze, and all of a sudden I heard these words, Steamboat Willie. And I mean, that really caught me off guard. I hadn't been watching Disney cartoons. I hadn't seen Mickey Mouse for months. You know, I just, you know, so there was no way for me to connect where these words came from. And I thought, well, the Lord must be attempting to share something with me. And so what a curious way to do it. But before I share this with you, I want you to understand that I am not beginning to preach the gospel according to Walt Disney or the gospel of Mickey Mouse. Okay, so this, I believe, the Lord gave me as an illustration. There will be things that I will share out of this that are it's, again, like an illustration. You could take this and go, Steamboat Willie, and go, oh, are we supposed to, everything that's in that cartoon, is that what this is about? And I would say no. But let me show you the cartoon. I'll make sure, see if I can get it here on connected to the internet. And if we can make things work, I think I'm set up to go. Turn all the lights off. We want to make this set the mood. We're like in the theater. And we got sound here. All right. So I think we're ready to go. Is it on? Thank you. Don't you feel edified? Let's see, who would like to have me send this to you? Steamboat Willie was Walt Disney's first Mickey Mouse cartoon. And, whoops, that's not where I'm going to be. Parts of the cartoon had been edited at one point because of cruelty to animals. Guess what parts those were? You know, I think that's what cats are for, though. But anyway, actually, there was like 30 seconds of the scenes that were considered cruelty to animal, and they'd been removed from several versions. But then they restored them just, you know, for the purpose of honoring historical accuracy with Disney's cartoon there. But that was first released in November 18, 1928. So that was back quite a ways. And as you can see, the boat, Steamboat Willie, was captained by a villain, as Peg Leg Pete. You know, when it starts out, it looks like Mickey's really the captain, but he's not. Peg Leg Pete, the villain of Disney cartoons, was the captain of that boat. But some of the characteristics of Mickey Mouse that made him to be such a popular cartoon was he was very optimistic, very cheerful, and, you know, as you could see in these, he was very resilient and very resourceful. You know, you could see his resourcefulness. And when I first started considering, you know, what would the Lord mean by this, you know, I thought, you know, that I was supposed to look at the characteristics of Mickey Mouse, his optimism, his, you know, ability to look at a situation, make good of it, and his resourcefulness. But then the Lord reminded me that the words he had spoken to me was Steamboat Willie. It wasn't Mickey Mouse. It was Steamboat Willie. And so here are some of the things that I saw in that that I felt like the Lord was speaking to me personally, as well as to our congregation, that our congregation would be a part of this. There's Mickey there. There's Peg Leg Pete. The other thing that I learned from this cartoon was, you know, don't chew tobacco. That was another. There you see Mickey being very resourceful with the stuff that was on the boat. But one of the things that I learned in this was the ability to mobilize. Obviously, you know, that's what the boat was for, is to mobilize. It was to get cargo from one place to another, sending people into their areas of ministry. This is how I see the application, okay? Sending people into their areas of ministry, even to other places as missions or ministries. One of the things that we have become proficient about, and I'm going to say this, you know, there's been times where I have grieved over this, but there is a positive aspect to this. We have become proficient about sending people to other places to do ministry. So much to the aspect that, you know, it's like it's a common thing. And I wanted to share this testimony because I think it's significant. When Melanie and I were at a recent AFCM meeting, we had the opportunity to visit with Rod Rice, and he pastors in Monticello, in Wilmer, where Oliver is presently a student there with the Extreme Life School. And so Oliver, you know, ends up serving in that church and is part of the praise and worship team at times, as I understand it. And we were just commenting to Rod, you know, the joy of Oliver being able to participate there. And one of the things that Oliver communicated to us is there's a school there at Wilmer that after he's done with this program, he's interested in attending that community college and would continue with his involvement there. And we just said to Rod, you know, it sounds like Oliver would like to stay. And Rod immediately started backing up, apologizing, kind of thing. Well, that hasn't come from us, you know, as in we are not here to take your people away from you. We want to train them and, you know, and send them back. It's not our intent with the school to rob you of your people, kind of thing. And I said, No, that's, if he has found a place here and can serve, and I mean, he's got other interests. It's not just to do that, but if he can do that here, praise God. That's a blessing. It's a blessing for him. And it is like to us, we're so used to sending people. I was like, it's no big issue. It's not like you're taking our people away kind of thing. But anyway, I say that to, just to briefly say, I believe we have had an ability to mobilize, and just to realize that, that is a part of the ministry of this church, sending people into their areas of ministry, even to other places, as missions or ministries. Here's another, capacity for cargo. And how I understood that is the ability to assimilate people, ministers, ministries, and not threatened by others rising. And I guess this is something where I have felt like, I don't know, God has given me a grace in that too. When there's been gifted people coming into our congregation, I have never felt like I have had to covet the pulpit, or guard the pulpit. Like, oh, what if they speak better than I do? What if, that person ministers and everyone likes them and doesn't like me? Kind of, it's that. I think in this congregation, probably more than a lot, you would have the opportunity to speak and share what the Lord has put on your heart. And the same thing goes with like Youth Sunday, offering that up for our children, our young people, I shouldn't call them children, but our young people to be able to minister and to share messages. I know one of the significant things in my life was when I did a message as a youth person in our church, and the kind of encouragement that I got after that. I know a person wrote me a letter and said, "I can see you becoming an evangelist." Well, that was kind of in their mind the only way that they could describe, seeing me going into ministry. But those things are significant, and they help people. Not, we don't want to put people down. So capacity to embrace those kinds of things. Also, a supply of resources for ministry to be done. Now, in this situation, there were the boat offered up all kinds of instruments for music to be made. Now, the individual Mickey Mouse had to be very creative with his, taking those resources to make that music. But I see that I am to be a supply of resources. Or to offer up resources for ministry to be done. It's why we can do things like the game feed. We offer up resources for ministry to be done, those kinds of things. And when Minnie Mouse had missed the boat, there was resources there to rescue her. Mickey, sends out that crane and grabs her by the panties. But wasn't it tastefully done? The hook realizes later that her panties are still showing, and so covers her up. But what I saw in that is opportunity for rescue or for salvation. That we would have the resources here where we would be able to offer up the Lord's salvation for anyone who wants to get on board. The other thing that I saw in this, that there was a difference between it being piloted by Jesus, or in essence, metaphorical use of Mickey Mouse, who is the good, the redemptive, the resilient, the resourceful. That's a picture of Jesus versus the villain, which in our case, the application of Peg Leg Pete, there would be the world, the flesh, and the devil. Opposing, putting down, hindering, as Peg Leg Pete did with Mickey Mouse, the devil would, the villain of, that would oppose us, or the world, the flesh, and the devil would attempt to hinder the ministry of Jesus Christ here. Now, you might say, man, you kind of really stretched that to get this significance out of it. But all I was doing was attempting to apply what, for some reason or other, the Lord chose to use that application for me to understand some more about what he intended for us to do as a church, and what he intended for me in ministry. And so now I want to share with you just a little bit, just a tidbit of kind of where I've been at and what has affected me with the School of Pastoral Nurture that you all sent me on. And I just wanted to show you that I did get there. I'm there in the crowd. I'll point right there. See me? And And it's too hard to get it together, but there's me with Jack. It's not a cardboard cutout. And so I did enjoy that School of Pastoral Nurture. But I want to share a couple of things that were brought to us at that School of Pastoral Nurture. One of the topics that we talked about is how we think about the congregation that we serve. And I thought, well, you know, first of all, I'm just really blessed by the congregation that I serve. But he took us through the story of Moses. And Moses was sent as a deliverer for the Israelites from Egypt. And what Moses was sent to do, the Israelites were a very broken people. 430 years they'd been in slavery. And so they were a very broken people, and Moses was sent to help bring those people out of bondage. And first of all, the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. We know that Moses was 40 years in Midian, and this bush, the bush, burning bush that did not burn up, was actually on Mount Sinai. And Moses was drawn to that, and he says Moses stared at it. He said, "This is amazing." Moses turned aside to see this thing. And when that was shared with us, Moses turned aside to see this thing, I felt like that's what I'm doing here this week at this School of Pastoral Nurture. The Lord has spoken some things to me, and I'm turning aside to get the message. I'm turning aside to see what the Lord is saying to me. I'm turning aside to see this thing. But then the Lord speaks to Moses about what he's called him to do, and immediately Moses starts protesting. And the reason why he did was because he was revisiting in his mind those things that he had done. And actually, his confidence had been eroded. He had attempted, 40 years before that, he had attempted to give some measure of deliverance to his fellow Hebrew brethren in slaying the Egyptian soldier. And things had not gone well, and that's why he fled Egypt. Because of that, but he was doing what he felt was right in his heart. But so it was like he was saying, "I did what I thought I was supposed to do, and it did not turn out. And what would be any different now?" And as that was being shared with us, Pastor Jack said, "Some of you people here are like this," and I had to admit to myself that I was one of them. That there has been some experiences over the years, and particularly the last few years, in which I felt like, I have done some things and they did not turn out. They did not turn out the way I anticipated, the way I expected. And so, kind of wallowing in that discouragement, there is the attitude of, why would things be different now? I'm not saying that's the right attitude. I'm not, you can all know that it's not. But I believe that this is partly why I was kind of sitting on those words for 2 years. Like I said, this word came from in October of 2006, and I've kind of been sitting on it since then, because a significant part of me was saying, I've attempted some things before and they didn't turn out. What would be different now? And this is why, how I shared with you a few weeks ago how the Lord gave me the words, "Stop moping"? Okay, I'm hearing that word and understanding why he is saying that word. But he also, Pastor Jack also gave a prophetic word during one of our meetings, where he said, "There is something God wants to transmit through you that you cannot even imagine of yourself, just like Mary." You know how the angel of the Lord brought a word to Mary, how she would give birth to the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And her question was, "How can this be?" And the angel responded with, "The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you." And her response then was, "Let it be done unto me as you have said." And part of why I'm sharing this is because there is, I alluded to this before, there is a work of restoration that God desires to do through every one of us. And I'll put these words up. Consider God's creative idea of you, his purpose for you, in his mind before you were ever born. You know, we have this passage of scripture from Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus that whoever would believe in him would not perish. It was not only that we would not perish from our sin, but also that we would be saved from the loss or the perishing of our purpose. See, some of us have received salvation from sin, but have not yet received salvation from the loss of our purpose. And for whatever reason, that purpose has been stolen from you. It's like Charlie was sharing, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He would attempt to hinder us from fulfilling the purpose that God established for you long ago, before the foundations of this world. And if Satan can do anything to steal those away, he will. And so this is something that's being renewed in me, and part of, I believe, what the Lord is calling me to in establishing foundations and seeing the body of Christ come together to be that dwelling of God in the Spirit. And that is for this church and the people that are a part of this church to find and fulfill the purpose and to get rid of the hindrances or the bondages or whatever it is that might be stealing that away so that we can be complete in Christ and we can complete the purposes that he has established for us. So that's where we're headed, people. You can ride on the bus if you want. If you determine, hey, this is not the destination I'm going to, you're welcome to get off the bus. And I don't say that lightly, saying, you know, just leave if you want to. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go there. Huh?
It's not a happy day
when anyone has had to leave, for good reasons, even Jared and Alina. You know, I'm just going to be careful. I'm not going to start moping. But, you know, but I need to wrap this up, but I don't know where to go with this other than to, you know, I hope that you can see that there is a direction that God has given us, that there is a ministry for us to fulfill. If you're a part of this church, you're a part of that. And God wants to see you brought in your completeness, to your completeness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for leading us and guiding us by your Holy Spirit. You do reveal those things which are to come, and I'm so glad for that. And we just want to be careful, Lord, not to manufacture them or try to make them come to pass, but to be able to wait upon you with the prophetic words that you give and to come to the point where we are able to say, this is that was spoken by the Lord. And so please help us to continue, Lord, to see the purpose that you have established for us and in us and to bring that to completion. And I just want to pray this and lift it up to you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, there are snacks and refreshments for you to enjoy at the same time. We will begin as soon as